Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
This is the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about five different things you might be missing with your young beginner students. Teaching young students is both fun and challenging. Today I want to share with you five different techniques to keep in mind to help your young students thrive and help you have fun in your lessons. Tip number one is to use games to reinforce concepts. If you've been around here a while, you probably saw this one coming, but it bears repeating. Young learners need to play. They need to move. They need the space to be able to wriggle and move about and not just sit on a piano bench for 30 minutes. And games don't have to take a huge amount of time. We have tons of really great short games inside my membership at Vibrant Music Teaching alongside our more in-depth one so that you can use games in your lessons no matter whether you're teaching a preschooler for a 20-minute lesson if that's all you get to do, or you're teaching a teenager and doing advanced theory concepts. Tip number two is to know that parents are essential to practice. Now, this is not entirely what it sounds like. Parents play a huge role in practice happening at home. So the main thing I want you to understand is that if parents are not involved in practice, it's not going to happen. And there's nothing you can do to change that on the student side, okay? So you need to set this up with parents right from the beginning. Talk with parents before they start lessons about what's going to be involved and what practice is going to look like. With a young learner, I'm only expecting a few minutes every day, but it does need to be every day and the parent has to sit there and help. So set that expectation right from the beginning to give you a better chance of it happening. A five-year-old simply cannot organize their own schedule, sit down, read a notebook of what they're supposed to practice, and then practice effectively for 10 minutes. It's just not going to happen. So making parents aware of that is super important. Now, in my studio, I'm lucky because I've set it up that I can give them a choice, which is often a really great way to really get this point across. So we have a preschool group class. It's for students age 3 to 5, even though that's not technically preschool here, but whatever. We have a class for ages 3 to 5. It's called Mini Musicians. The program is available inside Vibrant Music Teaching. Now, that class is on every week, and there's no practice requirement. It's just about a musical experience every week in a group format. A parent of a 3 to 5-year-old student can opt for that class, or they can opt for regular lessons, in our case, buddy lessons. If they opt for the buddy lessons, they have to be prepared to sit beside their child and help them practice. If they don't want to do that, if they don't think that they can find the time, or they're just not in that space right now, they can do mini musicians instead. So it doesn't have to be this or no music. It can be, you can do this type or you can do this type. And they're very different experiences, but you need to do the one that fits in your family. Tip number three is to introduce music theory through creative activities. So we improvise and compose in most of our lessons here at Colourful Keys. The way that we achieve that, really, is by using those creative activities to teach things. That's how we get it all to fit, because we're not getting it all to fit. We're using the improv and the composing to teach skills. So it's not something we have to jam into our already packed lesson. It's something we're using in order to teach something. And it lets students, and this is especially important the younger they are, to experience ideas and concepts and music before they are expected to read it off a page or analyze it in some way. So the next time you need to teach your student a particular skill or concept, try drawing it, composing a piece with it, improvising together using that skill, or using some other creative means to explore it together in a playful way before they see it in a method book. Tip number four is probably the most important one, and that is to be playful. This is not about structured, proper games. It's about being generally playful with your student. And if you do nothing else from this list, would you please do this? Because if you're teaching students under 7 and you're not playful in your own way, it doesn't have to be in my way, but in your own way, if you're not playful and sparking curiosity, then I don't think you should be teaching students under age 7. If you're just being straightforward and giving them the information and the instructions and, you know, if it's all serious and all business, that doesn't belong in lessons with students that young. To be honest, I think a bit of play should be included in all lessons, but especially with students that young. Draw the doodle on the page. Make up a story about an animal in some situation that helps you teach your point. Get out stuffed animals and make sure you give them names. Be playful, get into the child's world. Try to remember what it was like to be that age, or maybe even a little bit older, and to use your imagination all the time, right? Get inside their world and they will learn so much better and you'll both have so much more fun than if you tried to say it in an adult, straightforward, boring way. And tip number 5 is to know that there are always smaller steps. A little bit of a, not quite a pet peeve, but something that sticks out to me when teachers are asking for advice or telling me about a student situation is when they say, they just don't get blank. They're just not playing with good rhythm in this piece. They're just not understanding what I mean with whatever the case may be. Have you actually broken it down to the smallest steps possible? And spoiler, the answer is no, because there's always a smaller step. There's always something you're not seeing, which is a step along the way to that goal. If your student can't remember where the C key is, do they understand the groups of 2 and 3 black keys? Have you broken down the patterns? Have you given them some visual reference to the fact that it's on the left of the 2 black keys? Have you taught it through a game and through singing and through improv? Have you done that again and again? There's always a smaller step, every time. And you just need to really open up your brain to get inside that learning process to understand what step you're missing. Because it's not the student. It's you. I'm sorry, but it is. It's always us. If a student is not getting something, if something is not sticking, it's because we haven't found the right way to teach it to that student. And the way to find those right ways is to break down the steps smaller and smaller and smaller till you understand the smallest possible thing you could do to get towards your goal. So I hope this quick blast through 5 different techniques will help you to explore teaching young students and having fun in those lessons. Let me know your top tips for teaching young beginners. I would love to hear them. Vibrant Music Teaching Membership costs less than the price of 1 lesson each month. That is totally worth it for all of the courses, games, resources, downloadables, printables that you can get access to as a member, as well as a fabulous community support you'll find inside. Go to vmt.ninja and become part of the revolution.